In your Bible this morning to Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. Got a fine, good looking group of children, too. Amen. Yeah. Y'all pray for our children's workers down in another building. Glad to see so many young people here, so many children. Always good to have a house full of them. Judges chapter 7. Wait just to the last one here. Okay, as we read God's word, then Jeroboam, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead.' And 22,000 of his people returned, and 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you, and of whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go.' So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, 'Everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink.' And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to the mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink. Then the Lord said to Gideon, 'By the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hands, lest all the other people go, every man to his place.'" Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the word. And Lord, we come here this morning, each one of us have different needs that you spoke to us about. And Lord, I pray this morning that you'll meet us at the point of those needs, that we'll open up our hearts to hear your word, and God will give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. There's always been wars, and there will continue to be wars fought. Over the 4,000 years, someone said, out of those 4,000 years, only 268 years have been free from war. So we see war is a part of, seems like a life. And this is the way it was in Gideon's day. If you go back into scripture and look in chapter 6, the children of Israel prospered. They grew in number, they grew in wealth, they grew in their herds and their fields, and they left God out. You know, I think that's what's wrong with America. So many times we leave God out. Of all the blessings that God has blessed us with, we leave God out of our lives. See, nothing much has changed. As a church, I believe that's what's wrong with our churches. We go and we meet and we have church, so to speak. We sing our songs, we take our offerings, we make our announcements, whatever we do. But so many times we leave God out of the worship experience. And when they left God out, he sent the Midianites into their fields, and they were just taking everything from them. It was a sad condition. And there's an old argument about Satan's most powerful weapon is prosperity or adversity. And I believe if we were going to look at it that way, I would think that prosperity is that greatest weapon that he uses against us. For many times when we prosper, then we simply turn away from God. And the Bible says Israel did evil in the sight of God. And God responded to that evil by letting the Midianites come in and take their herds. They took their flocks. They took everything that they wanted, their crops. And we find Gideon in a wine press in chapter 6. You see, sin oppresses us, doesn't it? When we live sinful lives, when we do things in our life that are sinful, and we do, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And folks, we just have that old sinful nature about us, and we sin each week. It may not be one of those high-ranking sins we like to divide them up, but sin is sin. And sin breaks that fellowship with God. And it is a sad condition in the land of Israel. And Gideon's down in the wine press, and he's pressing out, or he's stomping out, or he's throwing up the seeds, the corn, to let the wind blow it out. But there's no wind in a wine press. It's down below. So he's living far below what standard, I believe, God wants us as Christians to live. And it's all because of sin in the land. And the angel of the Lord comes along and says, Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. I wrote a paper about this one time in college. It doesn't look like he was a mighty man of valor. He's hiding like a little wimp down in a wine press. He's afraid that the Midianites will come and take what he's got. But nevertheless, God says he's a mighty man of valor. Folks, it's a sad condition that sin oppresses us, but God gives us a strong charge in our life. God has promised us in the Word of God that we are overcomers. Did you know that? When you are born again, when you are saved, you are an overcomer. In Philippians it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I believe that with all my heart. I can't do a thing on my own, but when Christ is in my life, when I am right with God and I have pleased God with the way that I'm living, he speaks and he acts through power, his power in my life. And he gives us a strong charge. And he said, Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. I want you to lead the army. Oh, don't you know, here he's supposed to be a mighty man of valor. He's hiding and he says, who, me? Lord, did you get that right? You want me to lead the army? God says, yes, Gideon, I want you to lead the army. You are a mighty man of valor. And yet he says, Lord, you know, I'm scared to death. I'm scared to death. I'm hiding, if you haven't noticed. I'm trying to work down here below the ground, below the level of living that you want me to live. And you know what the sad condition is? That is the condition of our people today in our churches. God says, I am your strength. I am your power. And we just don't have it, do we? Someone said, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Today's churches have plenty of silver and gold, but we don't have the power of God to tell someone to rise up and walk. Why? We do not believe the Word of God. We don't know the Word of God. And when God says, listen, church, I want you to do something for me, we're like Gideon that says, who? Us? Are you sure, Lord, you got it right? You know? We struggle, don't we? We struggle with life. We struggle with sin. We struggle with doing what God wants us to do. But God does not see us as we are. But God sees us at what He believes we can be. If we'll just, by faith, trust Him and act upon it. You see, Christ has faith in us. He has faith in you. Hebrews 11 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Folks, we don't see it yet, but God says it's the substance that we already have. And if ever there was an unlikely candidate of the Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11, it was Gideon, but he says, I am with you, Gideon. And that makes all the difference in the world. And folks, I believe that God is with us. He's with this church. I've been here 34 years now. And let me tell you something. It has been God all the way. He could have used anybody. I'm just glad He chose me. I got to know you. I got to love you. I got to minister with you. I've got to be in your houses. We've got to become friends. You know, I was thinking the other night, I said, man, I don't even know if I got any friends. And my wife said, oh, you got a bunch of them. And I do. I am the most blessed. Woo. I believe our family is blessed because we got a loving church family. Man, amen. I got a loving church family that loves me and prays for me. And we move by faith in Jesus. It's not me, I know that much, because I am nobody. But God takes those nobodies that we are in life, and when He tells us, yes, you're my man, you're my lady, I want you to do this. And if we will do that by faith, God will bless. Because He says, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Man, I've always loved that passage of Scripture. What are we believing God for as a church? What are you believing God for as an individual? Oh, preacher, I don't think we can do that. Oh, we can't. But if God says we can, we can. You know, every single step of the way, I was told years ago, let me just go back. Most of you are new in this church, amen? You wasn't here, very few were here when I joined the church in 1985. There's very few of you that was here. Most of you had just a couple of hands. The little lady that sang a while ago, man, she got a good voice. I don't know how she married David. I hadn't figured that out yet. But you know, it's been a blessing. We've had a blessing, and they're just part of the family. You're part of the family. But you know, we were told, you remember what we were told, built that building over there. Y'all can't build a building like that. And I told the banker up there, I said, I know we can't, but God can. And he said, who are you? And I said, I'm God's man for that church. And everybody tells us you can't do that. You don't have the money in that church. There's only about 36 of us or 40, 50 of us at that time, maybe. And we didn't have the money, but God did. We stepped out by faith, built that church, and it was paid for in about 3 years. It was just a blessing. We didn't do it. God did. That church just kept growing. It filled up with people, and we decided to build this little building. It was a beautiful little building. And we built it. They said, you know what? The first group said, I believe y'all can do it. I said, I don't think we can, but God can. And God built this building, and it's paid for. And, you know, it was a blessing when we built that building over there. We don't like but just a little bit paying for it. Whenever you got an extra $100,000 laying around, you want to give it to us, we'll take it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I won't say you did it. I'll just say God did it. Because that's what it did. God always does it. And folks, I believe we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, you see. I believe God is saying to this church, you go in my might into this town. I believe we're a lighthouse to this town. I believe we need to be getting out there. I believe we, as we go, you know, I see more people at Walmart and, you know, I may have met some of these visitors at Walmart, I don't know. But, you know, I always tell people about our church. I just love our church. I'm excited about Jesus. I sing about Jesus a lot. You can ask my wife. She probably wants to say, shut up. Oh, you're not supposed to say that. No. You asked another word you're not supposed to say. It told me I wasn't supposed to say stupid. And I don't, y'all little boys didn't hear that. Preacher didn't say that. I don't know who said that, but I didn't say it. I didn't see y'all there. That was probably your mama. You know. But let me tell you something. God had a job for Gideon to do. He's going to take over the Midianites. He's going to whip them. God's going to show them. So he gets by all these people together. It's a serious challenge to whip the Midianites. There's going to have to be a lot of getting people together. And Gideon gathered every person he could find to fight in this battle. Man, he said, you know, I'm going to be a mighty man of valor, I guess, but I got to have a lot of men behind me. Gathered them all together. God said, Gideon, that's too many. If that many goes against the Midianites and you whip them, y'all will be bragging about how good you are, and I won't get any recognition. He said, you tell the ones that don't want to be here, go home. Boy, they left. They left quickly. Let me tell you something. I believe every person ought to be brought into the kingdom of God. Starting, you know, back in college we did the old concentric circle, you know, where you draw a circle and you just keep going. You reach inside that circle as you and Christ, and then you reach your family, then you reach your neighbors, then you reach your friends, and that just keeps on going. And you're reaching them for Christ, folks. And I believe that's the way we need to do it. You start telling everybody you meet about Jesus Christ. Bringing them into the salvation. A lady told me the other night, she said, I would like to know how to present the plan of salvation, and I'm going to tell her. I'm going to share with her how to tell people about Jesus. And if you want me to tell you, I'll be glad to tell you too. You see, that's what we need, just people pulling down the strongholds of the old devil with the word of God. Listen, I didn't know how to tell people about Jesus when I was young. I came to know Jesus Christ, and all I wanted to do was tell people. I went to my mother and daddy, and I told them I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then I went on to others, and the first thing you know, it's just a way of reaching people. It's my life. Tell them what God's done for you. You see, the battles we win in the will of God is genuine in our hearts. And it's by the power of God. You know, we cannot witness, but unless God, you know, wins our heart and fills our heart with the Holy Spirit. We cannot have church without the presence of the Holy Spirit in here. We cannot say a prayer without the presence of the Holy Spirit. It just won't go by above the ceiling, folks. And some of God's people just, you know what, don't qualify as good soldiers because we're not right with God. And I want you to be right with God, folks. I want you to qualify as a good soldier of the Lord. But so-and-so hurt my feelings, preacher. That don't make any difference. You don't run on feelings. I'd have left this church the first day I got here if I run by feelings. You know? People have tried to get me mad. People have tried to run me off. If I said, oh, that hurts my feelings. But God didn't say run off. God said, stay where you are. I put you there, and you stay there till I call you somewhere else. And I always told those people that didn't like me, you'll get over it. You'll get over it. Besides, it's easier for them to leave than it is for me. You know, they just walk out the door and go home and find another church. I have to go home and find another job at a church. It don't work too good that way. God says, here is where I planted you. And oh, I'm excited about what God is doing. If you're visiting with us today, you're part of an answered prayer. Amen. You thought you just came by accident? No. You're here because God led you here. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. And let me tell you something. These people were fighters for God. And God said, Gideon, you still got too many. We're going to cut that army down a little bit more. And he ended up with 300 men. You see, out of 32,000, he ended up with 300 men. Let me tell you, churches cannot be built. Missions could never get started. Bills could never be paid. Souls could never be won. Satan can never be defeated if we don't have faith in God. We don't look, I don't look at that thing called money. Never have, never will. Money, you know, God's got plenty of it. And all he has to do is convict a person to give it. And every time we need something in this church, God moves in that direction. It is strange, you know, but I love it. I like to see what God's going to do next. Well, after all these people left, only 300 remained. But friends, let me tell you something. God can do more with 300 committed people than 32,000 whose hearts are not in it. I believe that with all my heart. He can do more like he did with the 12 men that turned the world upside down for Christ than he can do with a bunch of people that just don't have their hearts in it. I love it when I don't have to tell people to come to Bible study. They're just there because I know they want to learn. They want to grow. You see, 300 prepared for battle. And I believe as a church, we're doing everything we can to offer the best training, the right training, to equip you to go out into the world every week and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. All you have to do is win one person to Christ. Man, if we win one person to Christ, this church is going to double, isn't it? I've always thought you could at least win one person a month. Shouldn't we be able to win one person a month to Christ? Boy, that'd be 12 people a person. You do the math. It just blows your mind. We'd be tearing out these walls before long. Somebody said, well, it can't be done. It can't be done if we're going to have that attitude. But with God, it can be done. We'll offer these skills to you so you can go out there and use them. But let me tell you something. You must be committed to doing the work. It doesn't happen by accident. It comes through a lot of prayer and effort. It's not enough just to prepare. You must decide, I'm going to get in the battle. I'm going to get out there in the world and battle the devil. We must put to use what we have prepared for in our life. And I believe if you will prepare, you will let God prepare your heart. He will send people your way so that you can witness. You know who they are. You know? Somebody told me one time, you got to get this right, that you can rear a child by reading them a good book. But if you want that child to develop into a fine Christian young man or woman and live a beautiful life, you got to rear it by reading this good book. Not just any old book will do. It's got to be the Word of God. I love it when I see these families bringing all these children. I know they went down there into the fellowship hall or the old sanctuary, and they're studying the Word of God. They're having their little sermon and service down there. You know? But you've got to be, as a parent, committed to bring those children. Once a month does not do it. They're fed the world every day of the week in school. And if you feed them once a month the Word of God, guess who's going to win the battle? And let me tell you something. It's not my responsibility. God has given those children to you to raise, and He says, train up a child in the way they should go. And that's this book right here. I am so glad my father didn't just take me and drop me off at church. He stayed there and worshiped with me. And our family worshiped together. If he was alive today, I'd just keep telling him, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because it didn't stop with just me. It went on down to my family. And my brothers and my sisters. Oh, listen, friends. A life raised by the Word of God in God's house will go and go and go. But you take them out into the world and you let the world raise them, and you're going to have chaos just like we have today. You can rear that child with Christ. The Israelites, they went out there with those 300 men, and they won the battle. They pushed the Midianites clean out of the land, and the battle and the war was theirs. But they had to fight with the right weapons. They had God on their side. Let me tell you something. As a Christian, we are a minority today. We're a minority. But let me tell you, so were these 300. The only thing that makes the difference is God. And we must mobilize ourselves. We must prepare ourselves. We must organize ourselves. And the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, I hope you come back tonight. I hope you come back Wednesday night. Somebody told me, I counted the people here Wednesday night. Brother Perry is going to be doing Wednesday night Bible study. And let me tell you something, we had 91 adults here. We had 30 youth here. And I don't know how many children we had down there. But on a Wednesday night, we're mobilizing. We're preparing. You see? We're preparing to go out there and do battle. Now, if you're here this morning and you're not prepared to do battle, you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ. The devil's got you lost. He's got you right where he wants you. You're his child. And if you die today, you'll spend an eternity in outer darkness with him. You don't want to do that. Jesus says, I came that you might have life. He died upon the cross of Calvary that we might have eternal life. And all we have to do is by faith trust him, put our lives in him, and we have eternal life. Buried a little lady Friday, Miss Jones. Her whole family was there, grandchildren. I'll tell you what, it's one of the sweetest services I've done in a long time because I know where she was at. And it didn't stop with her. It went over to her grandchildren. That makes it so wonderful to know that what God says in his word, it works. It really works. And if you're here today and you're not doing what God asked you to do, would you just come to the front and get on your knees or just stand there or sit on the front pew and say, Lord, I've failed. But today, I want to turn things around. I want you to use me once again. Oh, let me tell you something. The moment you ask him, he said, I'll pick you up. I'll cleanse you. We'll be in right fellowship again. And you can go out that door back there into a world to witness to it. Some of you are here looking for a church home. And this is the place God's led you. Why not come today? I'll be glad to share with you. Brother Bill will be glad to share with you. I would like to see so many people lined up. We had to use all of our ministers here. It'd just be great. And revival will start. Would you come today for salvation, for rededication, whatever? Would you come? Heavenly Father, we thank you that even though we might be small in number today, we are a mighty marching force because you are our leader, you are our guide. And Lord, today would you touch our hearts to where we'd put faith in you to do exactly what you said to do in the Word of God. For it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.